views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You know that moment when you realize you have mastered your wellness, when you become so resilient you can conquer any hiccup life throws you. Yeah, well, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I'll teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect your success of nutrition, exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. It's your reality, and you need to do it your way. Self-care and self-love are anything but selfish. Take charge. Get excited. If not now, then when? Grab your espresso and get ready to talk all things wellness. It's time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wells right now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio. I am Coach Peggy. We're here on Transformation Talk Radio. You can always find us every single Monday, 3 Pacific and 6 Eastern. We go ahead and always grab my favorite coffee mug. Lizzie, what have you got today? You've got your mug.
Oh, I've got a Mr. T mug.
Yes, I'm a tea drinker.
Is that banned on the coffee show?
No, you can drink whatever you want.
I do have a couch.
Can't have alcohol if you're driving and listening, but you can have whatever you want in your cup. So listen, you guys, here on the couch, we talk about all things wellness. It can be about diabetes. We might be talking about spiritual health. We might be talking about organization that stresses you out. The topic goes the gamut of wellness. Today, we're going to take a little bit of a different spin with my lovely guest here, Lizzie. She is going to help us get creative. For those of us who have a never-ending laundry list of things to do, who are to-do list lovers, welcome to my world. I love to-do lists. I will even put dusting on the to-do list.
So you can
after
check it
I
off.
Dusted. Yes, to check it off.
That's box me. Checked.
Box checked. So she is going to take a unique spin. Help us if you want to stop watching Netflix so much, if you want to get off of your routine, the day-to-day. She is a photographer. She is a writer. She is a positive psychology. I can't wait to hear more about this. Positive psychology based coach. And one of the favorite things, she says two things that I love. She says that, you know, enjoy your life so you don't have to take a vacation from it. Right? Yes. I read that somewhere on you. I'm like, I love it. The other thing I love is you say, make a dent in the universe instead of a dent in your couch cushions.
Couch cushions, right? Unless we're talking on the couch.
Oh, and this couch where we talk all things. Oh, that was a good plug.
We can dent that couch.
That was
because that's also making a dent in the universe, right?
It is. This is a little bit different. That's right. Okay, you guys. So what I want to do is I want to give Lizzie the stage a little bit because I can tell you when I first came across Lizzie, who was a kind of a hey, I've got this buddy, Lizzie, you need to talk to. That's kind of how we met, through someone else. And I looked into her and I'm like, she's a photographer. Like, how are we going to be buddies? I don't have time to be a photographer. I'm not creative. But the concept behind what Lizzie does reminded me of my grandmother, who I called Mammy. And my grandmother,
what did you call her?
Mammy.
Mammy.
Oh, Mammy. And she's passed away, but she was the one, the only one I can think of in our family that was like, stop being so busy. Just calm down. Enjoy life. And she loved red roses. And she would always say, just stop and smell the roses. And I can remember when I was young going, they're roses? Like, I don't have time to stop and smell the roses.
I love that.
But she said that forever. And so when I thought of you and what you do and when we've talked, I think about her and how right she is and how you need to help me and all my listeners who are left brainers who don't stop to do this a little differently, because you're going to help us think about health a little bit in a different way, which is what I love. So I want you to help everybody understand how you did a flip, because you had a very busy restaurant. I mean, I want you to tell us about your past and how you became.
Yeah. Well, I was just laughing when you said, you know, a busy life. Cause I thought, you know, I used to call myself, you know, Busy Lizzie. I mean, I was sort of this tornado. I think I was on like 10 different executive boards for organizations in town. I never said no to anything. I volunteered for everything. I have identical twin girls at a 300 seat restaurant. And I just like, and I had a stress level to match for sure. Like the crazy, insane, toxic stress level, as I think I've shared with you, of just owning a restaurant is not for the faint of heart. Let's just say that.
And it was bar and a lounge, and it was like
nightclub, bands, all of it. Crazy stuff. And I did that for 14 years. So I told you this in our private conversations, but I just started having like some really physical symptoms come from all of the stress, and mine manifested in like a lot of TMJ and neck pain, like, you know, grinding my teeth all the time. And I realized like I was in so much pain, I couldn't keep going. Photography had always been something to me. Like I took photography classes when I was first 16 years old. So I like to say, you know, I learned in the dark room or the dark ages, but a million years ago. And for me, it was always that the dark room especially was just a very calming place. Like you go into this dark room and you're watching, you're just completely in flow, and it's fascinating to watch the photos come out, and you kind of lose track of time and come outside and go, oh, what day is it? Like, who am I? Might be the chemicals too. I don't know. But it's the whole package. But I loved it. It was a very, and this was when I was a teenager. So talk about just like tumultuous stuff, drama going on in my life. And it was just always that really calming place. And then I stopped taking pictures for a really long time. And this was kind of before the digital age. I'm old. And right before my kids were born. So I struggled with a lot of infertility and had gone through several major, health issues around that. And my husband and I decided to adopt. And right before we decided to, or like in the midst of the paperwork, I had sort of felt like my body had been through hell. I'd been through hell. And I thought, I got to do something nice for myself. And I decided to take a photography class. So my kids are 13 now. So this was, or they're like almost 14. So almost 14 years ago that I picked a camera back up, and it was a digital DSLR, and started taking pictures again. And it was truly like for my own sanity. I remember my mom saying, you need to finish that paperwork. And she was like yelling at me. She's very type A as well. And I said, no, I'm doing this class first. Like at the very least, if we need an end goal, I'll be able to take better pictures of my children, you know. But ultimately for me, the end goal was to just rediscover the world again and appreciate beauty and not just be so driven and stressed all the time. It was the greatest gift I gave to myself. I'm so glad that I did it, especially with twins and a 300 seat restaurant. That was probably the only time for like a decade that I had time to you know, get passionate again. And then I think, as I've shared that, so as my kids were getting, you know, older, I mean, when they're little, like you're so immersed in the physically taking care of your children. And I found that myself and a lot of my peers, my friends, we all kind of lost who we were a little bit. I mean, we absolutely adored our children, and we would go out of our ways to get them to all these different activities and enrich their lives. But then our own, you know, creativity or anything that we wanted to do went by the wayside, right? Yeah. So I think when they were about maybe 7 or 8 years old, one was quitting piano, and I was telling the piano teacher that we were done. One twin was quitting. We were done fighting about it. And I told him that I wanted to take, and he piano. And he kind of looked at me like I was insane. And I said, I'll fill the spot. And I said, no, I it's a regret I've had, you know, my whole life. I'd really love to take piano. So that was kind of my first inkling. I think I had this friend who her kids took piano after me, and So for a while, neither of my kids even took piano, and they would come to my lessons and they would sit outside the door doing their homework. And this friend of mine said, you know, Lizzie, I absolutely love seeing your kids waiting for you at an activity.
Awesome. And yeah, role reversal. You
know, yeah, exactly. And it started kind of just getting a lot of my friends, like Diane, who decided to do this theater production that I had been a part of, and another friend took piano lessons. One friend started drawing again. Just everyone started saying, like, yeah, you know, I don't want to just talk about car seats either.
Yeah, you just tapped into that creative. You came alive.
So. Yeah. So that was the impetus for all of it. In the meantime, I think I also discovered positive psychology. And
yes, I want to know a lot more about that.
So positive psychology is, it goes, you know, you wouldn't think that it goes well with photography, but it does. You know, back in the dark room days, you know, you're literally taking a negative, an actual negative, and turning it into something positive. You know, it's, you're putting light through it, and that's how the image is created. So with that said, positive psychology takes people north of neutral. So where traditional psychology is rooted in the illness model and, you know, mental sort of unhealth, right, and it gets people to baseline, positive psychology is interested in what makes people thrive and going north of neutral, like way above the baseline. So a lot of the ways to do that are, they have these, you know, positive psychology interventions, such as savoring. So savoring is taking the time to really engrave, you know, in your heart and mind, a beautiful moment in life. And we tend to just go, you know, charging ahead, right, to the next thing. And
it's an addiction for some of us.
It's, what'd you say?
It's an addiction for some of us.
Exactly.
Just keeping that,
what's next?
Those chemicals going. Yes.
Right. Yeah. And you know, the thing is that what we know from, you know, evolutionary brain science is that we need three positives to offset one negative event in our life. We are ninjas at searching out and honing in on the negative, and we're terrible at really acknowledging the positive and savoring it. So for me, photography was kind of this natural way to, you know, you're already savoring moments if you take photos and you look back on them and they make you smile. So that's, you know, there are other ways to savor as well, of like writing down three specific good things that happened in your day, because you can easily remember all of the crummy things that happened in your day, and you want to give your mind a deeper imprint of the good. So, you know, and some people say, like, well, what's the point of positive emotions? They just sound so fluffy. Who needs to be happy?
That'll come when I win the lottery. Let's just wait for that.
Right? We get there. And the thing is that, you know, negative emotions they narrow and focus us. You know, they drive us to, you know, fight, flight, freeze. They just focus us to a few things. We got tunnel vision. We're honed in. Positive emotions, when you are laughing and having fun, they actually inherently bring out more creativity, because you're connecting more ideas together. You're thinking up new thoughts. And let me tell you, like, creativity had an evolutionary purpose as well. It doesn't get as much media time in the world, but you think about, like, curiosity. You know, you had to follow, our ancestors had to follow their curiosity to invent fire, you know, to come up, to discover new lands, to come up with inventions to make our world better. That all came from curiosity and creativity. So we just tend to, like, pass it aside, like, oh, that's just fluffy and we don't need it. And we do.
Yes.
It's so... Long answer, Peggy.
No. This is good. I was just thinking when you were talking, when you said that, you know, we don't hear positive things on the news, which is, I carved the news out of my life for the 80th time in my attempt to Try a type A for like three or 4 weeks ago. And it's a very concerted effort to go stop, don't turn on the, but you're right. We don't turn on the TV and just go, let's share all the positive things in the world today. I mean, let's talk about the fake news of positivity. It's right. All about just saying who has said the most negative and then damning who has said the most negative. You're absolutely right. I was thinking when you were also talking about that pigeonhole, that, you know, being in that lane, that tunnel when you're
narrow in focus. Yeah.
Yes. And that creativity, which I feel like I have creativity. I can be creative, but it tends to shut down when I get hyper-focused. And so the drawing, which I love to do, or the creative writing, or the, you know, even photography, being outside, I know you and I talked a while back, and that just goes to sleep. Right.
Yeah.
And until someone like you sparks a conversation that says something seems silly to you, maybe, but when you said to me several weeks ago, the shadows. So recently I've been out, I'm trying to get outside and walk around. Right. And I always do that. I love where I live. And so I'm usually looking at, there's a dolphin, click. Right.
Yeah.
Let me send that to someone. Because when I first moved here, I was like, oh my God, you know, you're just fascinated. Oh my gosh, this is great. And then pretty soon it's like, yeah, there's a dolphin. So this last week, it's so true though.
It's so true. There's actually a positive psychology bit on that, I'll tell you.
It's gross. So this last week I was starting to look at the palm trees, and instead of looking at the green leaf palm tree and going, oh, I love palm trees, I started looking at the way that the shadows casted different, because you had mentioned to me shadows, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's shadows to look at. It's
mind blowing, right? They're pretty.
Thank you.
Interesting. Yeah. So I have to share two things. So what you just said about, and I've joked, because as you know, I live in Colorado. So I grew up outside of Detroit, Michigan. So moving to Colorado was like a serious upgrade. But that was 23 years ago. And, I truly remember driving from college, when I graduated from college in Ohio to Colorado, and going, oh my God, like, this is the most beautiful place on earth. I can't believe I'm so lucky I get to live here. 23 years later, I'm like, this traffic on I-70, the tunnel, this, and you just, you know, find yourself completely desensitized to your surroundings. And what they call it in positive psychology is the hedonic treadmill. And it's basically saying that here's this wonderful quality that we have, that we adapt very quickly to our surroundings. We adapt, like if you were to lose a limb, you would adapt, your happiness levels would rebound pretty quickly. Like you can adapt to a lot of adverse circumstances. The problem is that we adapt to the good stuff too, and we take it for granted and we don't notice it. So you don't notice dolphins anymore. When I'm in Florida, we're all like, there's a dolphin. Oh my God. Back to Colorado, you're like stunned by the mountains. We're all like, yeah, whatever. Mountain.
I know. I was thinking about one more funny story. Is I came down here every year to visit my, you know, best friend. I'm like, I got to move down there. So I grew up in Northern New Hampshire, and I ended up in Colorado for 25 years after I had a stint in Germany. And I come down, cause I'm a beach girl, and I come out and I'm like, oh, I can't wait till I live here. And I'd cry when we go over the causeway. I'm like, oh, the ocean. And I'm like, so I would say to her, how do you not get out in the sun and lay by the pool every single day? And she's just like, because it's there tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I did not think I would be that girl, because I used to open up the shades in the morning when I first moved here and just be like, oh, my life is, and it, so how do I turn that around? How can we talk to everybody about using photography? How can we keep this alive and not let it go bye-bye?
Yeah. Well, first thing is just knowing that there's something called the hedonic treadmill and that we all do it. And what it, you know, I always joke that like around Christmas time or holiday time, you know, that it's like, it shows up. I mean, we're buying every new gadget, where your credit card bill, your credit card account definitely feels the effects of the hedonic treadmill of the new car smell is gone, you know, after you drive out of the lot. Your new iPhone is no longer the cool thing 6 months later. So it's just acknowledging that we have that it is an adaptive quality. It's a good thing, but you want to counteract it, so you're not just consuming everything or constantly going after sort of these dopamine pleasures all over the place of like shopping or eating or drinking or the Netflix. Like you don't need new we need some new, but we can also savor and appreciate what's around us. So when I know that you've had an interest and an interest in mindfulness and that what I refer to as the M word, the meditation. But for me, I find that photography is for, especially for people who don't naturally sort of love mindfulness, is that it's a great practice. And I teach that in the Life Feast, you know, there's a whole sort of mindfulness module of noticing the shadows. You know, photography is all about paying attention to the light at different times of the day.
Explain to us what the Life Feast is. So you just blew right past
that. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So you have it on
a course. On to the next one. Charge it ahead.
Please talk to us about the Life Feast.
Yeah.
And then so you can,
The Life Feast is an online course that I created to take the concepts of positive psychology, to use the tool and use the tool of photography to integrate them into your life. So in, it's sort of my much more creative way to learn about curiosity, awe, leaving your comfort zone, adventure, playfulness, and to give everyone these fun photo assignments so that it's not just consuming the information, you're actually putting it into practice. So we actually start with the art of awareness and the mindful photography piece of noticing things. And I know I shared with you a story that I share in the course about this violinist, this guy, Joshua Bell, who was the Washington Post partnered with him to do this crazy social experiment that actually the article written about it in the Post won a Pulitzer Prize. And it was about, they put Joshua Bell incognito in a ball cap in a Washington DC busy subway station during a morning commute. And he played for 45 minutes on his $3 million violin. 1,000 people walked by and only 7 people stopped and even listened or tossed a coin in or
I'm saying
or,
he made hardly no money and everybody
yeah,
else
he made like $32 I think. And he was playing sold out shows, you know, the few weeks later in Boston and all over the place. And he, you know, people just didn't, if it wasn't art sort of in the normal packaging on a stage that you bought a ticket, they weren't willing to slow down or stop for it or just listen, even be moved by the music as they're, you know, heading to work. So I share that story just to say, you know, would you have stopped to hear the music? And if you know, you probably wouldn't have. Do you regret that? Do you think like that would have enhanced your day or just given you that little broaden and build, you know, boost of not just being in the negative emotions before you start your day on a harried commute? Like what kind of, you know, amazingness would that bring to your to your life?
So do you need any specific equipment? So you have the Life Feast and you're an amazing photographer and the concept is gorgeous. And so do you have to have experience? Do you need amazing equipment?
No.
How do you take the skill, the non-skilled, non-equipped persons through this?
Yeah. So no, you don't. The exercises are really simple. I call them the life lens. You use your phone. I figure, you know, we can't get all Lord of the Rings about it. Like precious, you know, I have to take the most perfect photo. That doesn't work. We have a motto in there that we are, there's a bad word in it, but we're just going to say like we're against perfectionism. So, you know, insert your bad word.
Bye. Yes.
And that it's, we're not there to be perfect. We're there to just, so I say like notice diagonal lines, take pictures of the shadows, find a reflection. I'll show you a few.
Yeah, we're going to put some photos up on the, on the screen.
So I'll show you like one thing I have them do is a really fun one is we do alphabet soup photos for non-creatives.
Right.
And get alphabet soup letters, and then they need to make their mantra. I'll show you Diane's out of alphabet soup letters. So it's their personal mantra. So it's just, that's in the play module. It's just a fun, silly thing. This would be like, you know, find a reflection. This is a reflection in ski goggles.
That's there's so you have these assignments. So the Life Feast, so you have this module online. We're almost done here. Everything that you just, so you have your Life Feast, you have other modules and you have workshops coming up. So spend a few minutes explaining everything that you offer, because I want to make sure.
Yeah. So the Life Feast is my main offering that people love who are new to me, come into my world in that way. So, you know, as I say, if you want to shake up your usual routine, if you want to learn more about how to integrate positive psychology, you do not need to have any experience with photography whatsoever. I teach you how to see and how to pay attention and be aware. And I share a lot of funny stories from my own life of like times where I wasn't mindful and like I set my oven on fire and cautionary tale.
That's how we get injured and accidents. We're just not paying attention.
Exactly. So I have plenty of sort of, you know, field tested. I've tested the unmindful version in the field often. And I share that. So, yeah, that's the best way.
You have a course coming up, I think, don't you?
I do. June 20th is the next Life Feast. So it's 7 weeks long and it's all online. We do meet as well. And there's a private Facebook group to where I give more tips and encouragement and share fun ideas like the stealing selfie. They're all really silly. They're not, they're meant to get you to see and notice and be a little more playful in your life.
That's awesome. So you feel like, so this is something you normally do. You have a studio, you have your modules online, you have your classes. Do people also come in and do other things there?
I do work with people one-on-one as well. Okay. So that's kind of a combination of the positive psychology. It's a lot of creative people or people who want to infuse a little more creativity in their lives. And I have a long time business and marketing background. So we do a lot of coaching around mindset and it's all about leaving your comfort zone. So as you know, as an entrepreneur, that there's a lot of leaving your comfort zone in business. So we go through that.
Get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's right. That yucky stuff where all the growth is. Who wants to do that? It's so hard. So where can everybody find you? Let us know.
So come and find me on larockstarcreative.com and you'll see the Life Feast on there where you can sign up to join me for the June 20th. Also, I'm a huge lover of Instagram for the photography piece. So you can find me at larockstar on Instagram. And
that's awesome.
You can find me here with Peggy.
You can
find the couch.
I know, sitting on the couch drinking your Mr. T. That's awesome. So I am going to make a commitment to you. So this is a big deal. Okay. I know. Everybody grab your seats. So I don't know why I do this stuff publicly. So with my little handy dandy phone, I'm going to take creative pictures through my lens, 30 days, 30 pictures, and collage them and post them on my social media.
Oh, love it.
I promised you committing starting tomorrow. So, okay, there you go.
Okay.
All right, you guys. I thank Lizzie so much for being here. And I want to tell you about our next show, which is going to air on June 17th. It's going to be Father's Day coming up. And on Monday, the 17th, I have who, in my opinion, is one of the best newest age dads, Robert Bardunius. He has a little 6-year-old girl and he believes that it's time we teach our girls to be independent, sassy, amazing body image. They can be who they want to be, pick who they want to date. It is their world. And I adore him and his family. I'm going to have him on. He's going to talk about his ways. He's a busy dad. So it's not like he just sits home. He teaches her the way of the world. So you can find me on 3wellnesspillars.com. I've got my weekly blog on there, connections to social media. Can hop onto YouTube and watch dozens of my crazy videos. And I am so grateful you are here. Catch me every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific. I always want to say Eastern first. 6 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for joining me on Coach Couch and Coffee.
Thank you for listening to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Did you hear something that made you go, or have an aha moment? I live for those. If not, we will get you next time. I will be back every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific to tough love you to become smarter, stronger, braver, healthier, and happier. Duh. I will be back with a barrel of positivity, and you never know when a guest might pop in. There is no time for excuses. So don't forget to bring your coffee and an open mind as we talk all things wellness on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wellness. Now go grab a ray of sunshine.